5:35 in the morning. Thanks for being with us. I'm Andrea Darlis. Patty Vasquez is on vacation. She will be back with us next week. We are so excited to have on the phone with us this hour, I believe he's in L.A., music legend and rock and roll Hall of Famer, Kenny Laguna. Hi, Kenny.
Hello, Andrea. How are you?
I'm good. I haven't seen you in a long time. How are things? Things are well? Are you in L.A. tonight?
Actually, I'm in San Francisco.
Oh, but, very nice.
Close.
Still West Coasting it.
Yes.
Yes. We wanted to talk to you. There's a big documentary coming out. People know you, Kenny. I mean, you've been in the music business since the ripe old age of 12, I know, is when you started playing piano. But you started working with Joan Jett, your business partner, musician, collaborator, guru, after she broke up with the Runaways in 1979. So you guys have been together a long time.
Well, that's true. It was the tail end of the Runaways that I joined her on. The band had run away after the breakup, and they had a contract left for some songs. And she was alone and obviously a little bit disheartened that the band broke up.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked together, and that became the beginning of the Bad Reputation album.
Yeah. Speaking of Bad Reputation, we're going to talk about the documentary that's coming out next month in just a couple of weeks, too, which I can't wait to see. Your backstory with Joan has always been fascinating and wonderful and inspiring to me. Tell everybody about the journey that you guys began. I think you guys were supposed to write, like a dozen songs in 8 days or something like that, and you did it.
Exactly, yeah. It was actually, I think it was 8 songs in 6 days.
Okay.
And that was to fulfill a movie contract that the Runaways had.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it. When I met her, she was so different than all the other artists I'd ever met. And, you know, she came in, she had a black leather jacket. She was a punk rocker. And her friends were like Sid Vicious and Nancy and Stiv Bates from the Dead Boys, and it was an odd couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved her right away. When I heard her sing, it reminded me of one of my other good friends, Darlene Love,
mm-hmm.
another Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And but Darlene, you know, she could let it all hang out, but there were stereotypes for girls,
right,
playing pop and rock and roll, and Joan didn't fit that. She let it all hang out and mm-hmm. sweat, and was very, well, just the fact that she had a guitar, and she was she ended up leading a band of guys, which was met with a lot of resistance from the industry. There were a lot of people, men,
mm-hmm.
in radio, mm-hmm. in the record companies, that were threatened by Joan. I know it may sound a little silly today, but
oh, yeah.
It was absolutely true. It was a like she was treading in a place where only the guys should go.
Right, and she seemed very real, Kenny. Is that what kind of drew you to her? Did you always know that she was going to be a star?
Well, you know, I did know she would be a star, but I've known other people were going to be stars who ended up not being stars. Although, but I have been lucky. You know, mm-hmm. I met a very young Sissy Spacek and worked with her and helped her start, and she became a big Oscar-winning movie star.
Mm-hmm.
And Darlene, although she'd had a wonderful career with Phil Spector, I was able to bring her back, and she became successful again,
mm-hmm.
and did the Lethal Weapon series. But what happened with Joni, first of all, it was almost like if you made it up, people would say it was too corny, too contrived. Initially, we couldn't get any kind of record deal.
Right, and tell people how many record labels you went to who said no.
Well, Well, we've documented 23, and we have, you know, written rejection letters or a couple of telephone messages, and the very best people in the business turned us down, even for free. We offered it. We didn't even need the money because we started touring, and as we toured, crowds started growing. When we played in Long Island, the first time, there were 54 people.
Wow.
And we moseyed around to the radio stations, and there was some great support in those days from rock radio, which has now evolved into classic rock. But at the time, it was new.
Right.
And we were getting a chance from some of the biggest stations. And we went to the labels and said, look what's going on. They're closing highways in the Northeast when Joan played. It was like Woodstock every time she played. And yet they still wouldn't take her. A couple of the labels said, well, maybe if she'd stop hiding behind the guitar, we could get it going. You know, we could give her a chance, but this is not the way to go. But we went out and put the record out ourselves. So with the first record, we called it Joan Jett. It evolved into Joan, a Bad Reputation when we brought on a really great partner in Neil Bogart, who was a great record tycoon. He passed away at a young age, but he helped us get the thing going. And all of a sudden, we had the biggest record in the world.
Yeah.
And then that record went number one, and it was actually number one for 2 months. And at that point, I remember looking at it and saying, if you had said a girl named Joan Jett would be totally rejected and fight back herself and fight all the odds and come up with one of the biggest records of all time, and it's called I Love Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
It would be too corny.
Right, right.
It doesn't sound real.
And it's become a rock anthem, too, for women and for men. I mean, everybody knows I Love Rock and Roll. Even the millennials sitting here with me today who have been laughing at me, Kenny, because I used to play Atari and Pong. Kenny will stick with me, you guys.
Well, I'll tell you something. We're very proud of Bad Reputation also, because Bad Reputation was less dramatically successful than I Love Rock and Roll. Bad Rep took like 20 years to go gold, and it's now as big as I Love Rock and Roll as far as the activity and the money we make from it.
Right.
And, we have a couple other ones that are, you know, very special. Like you were playing Cherry Bomb.
Yeah.
Cherry Bomb has become an anthem for young girls.
Yeah.
And guys, but, you know, that's like required reading for a lot of young girls growing up.
Oh, I agree. And I even think Crimson and Clover, Do You Want to Touch Me? All of them, you know, are anthems in their own right.
I hate myself for loving you, which then the NFL used that.
Yes, yes.
For a long time on Sunday Night Football. So it was a humble beginnings, but right now, I'm so proud of what we did. We still have the label.
Blackheart Records, yeah, for 35 years or how many years later?
Well, it started in 1980, so you do the math.
Okay, I'm terrible at math. Domiti, do the math for me. Tell me if it's not.
Well, right.
Right.
I'd say 38 years.
38 years, yep. There you go. Hey, Kenny, did any of those, you went to 23 major and minor record labels at the time. They all said no. That's when you guys formed Blackheart Records. Did any of them ever call you, anybody from any of those studios, and say, boy, I made a mistake. God, we should have signed you guys.
Well, there was one guy in particular, I wouldn't say that, but they had rejected us, and we specifically offered the record for free, and his letter is actually in a documentary, but this fella was on television and saying how vital the record business was, and said, and Joan Jett. And he had rejected her, but now he's boasting that our success showed how vital the record business was. So I wrote him a letter and said, I guess if you had looked at Cole Porter, you would have said he needs a song search, because that was what was in the record. So that fella didn't like me all those years.
No.
Big guy, so I'll be. But I don't know. I'd say one guy really did that, and then we came back and worked with him, and had I Hate Myself. Tony Martell.
Okay.
Tony Martell is legendary in the business, because he not only helped careers like Elton John and The Who and James Brown, and he did amazing things in the business, but the biggest thing he ever did was he lost his son to leukemia when he was 19, and he started the T.J. Martell Foundation, which was the first charity for the record business, and I'm proud to say I helped him start that charity, and that charity was instrumental in taking a 90% death rate for children under six, and now there's like a 93-94% cure rate for children under six with leukemia.
That's amazing. It's amazing. So it's
that guy.
Yeah,
he did come and felt terrible, and you know, he told me he blamed all his colleagues.
Wow.
But he came to us and he said, that was terrible that we didn't give you a deal. I did fight for you. And I kind of believe him. And then we worked together with him and we had a bunch more hits.
See, so it all turns out okay in the end. And we're so excited to see Bad Reputation is coming out, the documentary of Joan's life. And you obviously are a huge role in that too. So that comes out in September.
September 28th, it'll be in 50 cities and theaters. And, you know, we have, like, such great friends came out. It's not a tribute. I mean, what would you call it? A testimonial.
Right.
It's a story, and it's like a real, it's like Rocky, only the record business, and we win. So the Pete Townsend, Billy Joe Armstrong, Dave Grohl, Kristen Stewart, Miley Cyrus, Ambassador Nikki Haley, believe it or not.
Oh, cool.
Dana White of the USC. I mean, we have such a wide range of people, and we were so blown away because we didn't actually make this doc. I mean, we weren't in charge of it.
Sure.
Because to have a true documentary, you have to have annoying people that want to tell stories about you that
right.
you don't want people to know. But yeah, I'm very proud of it. It came out great, and I think it tells a great story of empowerment and what happens when you don't give up.
Well, we can't wait to see it. We've been talking about it. You have to come back on with us when it debuts here in Chicago, you and Joan. You have to come on with us. And we're so proud of you and everything that you've done, Kenny, you and Joan both. And congratulations. I don't know if I've talked to you since the Rock Hall induction. That had to have been very special, being on that stage. We watched it on closed circuit. But that had to have been very special for you being on that stage together. A well-deserved honor.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, it was. And it was way more important to me than I ever thought it would be, to tell you the truth.
Right.
But I remember we talked to you then. But you've been our supporter for a long time.
Well, we love you guys. I love you guys and Julie and Marilyn, everybody at Blackheart Records. You guys, you do it right. And I love the fact that you always are still producing so many of these up-and-coming acts, Girl in a Coma, The Vacancies. I know you have a lot of people on the label, too, and you're very good with helping out the female musicians and young musicians in general.
That's true. We're still fighting the fight.
Absolutely. Well, best of luck to you, Kenny, and we'll hopefully talk to you when the documentary comes out next month.
Thanks, Andrea. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure, and safe travels, my friend. Say hi to everybody at Blackheart for us.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye, Kenny. That's the great Kenny Laguna. Isn't he cool, Michael? Isn't that just so awesome? I got to bring you into this because you're an aspiring musician as well. Well, you are a great musician, so.
It's so interesting to see what a lifetime of being in music and being not only in, you know, Chicago-based local music, he is on a national stage that I can't even comprehend with Joan Jett and the Blackheart Records.
Yeah.
And the amount of music he put in, he's a musician himself. I mean, mm-hmm. wow, what a great, great interview.
I love their story, and I can't wait to see this doc. I want you to see it, too. We'll go see it together. But I don't want to say I love the fact, but it's such an inspiring story. Can imagine, you know, you go for a job interview or you go to a label and say, hey, check this out. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, a rejection or two or three or four. But to have nearly 25 people tell you no.
Yeah.
And you still say, forget that. I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's
so
a beautiful
they did
thing.
It right.
They're just the persistence show through and they ended up on top, which is amazing.
Absolutely. All right. We will close out the show with Tell Me Something Good next on 720 WGN.